It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Mayor of Auckland, Phil Goff, your worship, good morning.
G'day, Mikey, how are you?
Good, thanks. Last week we talked about the 1080 program that's going in the Hanua Ranges. Everything was going to be sweet, but now there's handbrakes on it.
Oh, there's legal action taken, and, you know, people, I guess, are entitled to bring a case for an injunction. Whether that will succeed or not, that's a matter for the courts. But if you look at the range of groups that are saying, look, 1080 has to happen, you're looking at things like Forest and Bird, Department of Conservation, the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Environment. You know, these are groups of people who say, unless we take action like this, we are going to see the further extinction of more and more species of New Zealand native birds. And yes, we can trap, and yes, we can shoot, and, you know, I do both of those things on my little block of land. But actually, you don't get on top of the problem unless you have a major project that can absolutely decimate the rat, the stoat, and the opossum pests that actually are destroying our forest and destroying our bird life. And, you know, I felt that really keenly when in the Hoonuas, with a group of other people, I released the first kiwis back onto the mainland
of
Auckland.
Yeah.
And, you know, only to find that we just took one ferret to wipe out the kiwis. Well, hopefully we didn't lose all of them, but we lost at least a couple of them. And that's an absolute tragedy. So, you know, we've got to deal with this problem. Is it a perfect solution? Of course it's not a perfect solution. Is it the best solution we've got at the moment? Sadly, yes.
Hey, now you're the mayor of Auckland. Auckland's got lots of big, tall buildings. The New Zealand Fire Service is saying that we don't have enough aerial fire trucks. But we don't have capable aerial fire trucks to deal with a towering inferno.
Yeah.
That can't be good. Can be good to hear if you're the mayor of Auckland, home of tall buildings.
Yeah, I'm not the expert in this field, and the fire service, and I guess the guys that work on the ground are the experts. I heard the union say that, you know, over 20 years the number had reduced from 5 to 2, and the guy was pretty straight up and about it. He said, "Look, we don't use them much. In fact, you know, nobody can think of a fire that required the use of them." And over that period of time,
good.
but you have to have something there in the eventuality that it might happen. Now, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on whether they need 2 or whether they need 5. That's something that, you know, I think that the union members need to discuss with the fire service and with the government and sort out. You know, safety is a paramount factor. I presume that the decisions by the fire service are based on evidence and aren't simply a cost-cutting thing over 20 years. But that's a debate that has to occur between the people that are most qualified to comment on it.
Right. Now, the other thing that happened this weekend, we had another one of the big cruise ships, and we've talked about this before, haven't we, where the council wanting resource consent to build 2 what they call mooring dolphins. We talked a lot about this a wee while ago. It's come up again. Is that because it's cruise ship season again, or...?
Well, the cruise ship season doesn't actually end. You know, I was really surprised because I look out over the harbour and I see the cruise ships come in and go. That's all I've got to do all day, Mikey, just look out the window at the cruise ships. And, you know, we're getting cruise ships visiting in the middle of the winter, and, you know, they say the average value of a cruise ship to Auckland is about $1 million in expenditure, which is a huge amount, and it's an important and growing part of our tourist trade. And the problem is some of the new cruise ships, not many of them yet, but more and more over time, are just too long to dock at any of the wharves that we have available. So what we're doing is seeking resource consent. They've lodged the application for resource consent to build a buoy. It's a permanently moored buoy.
A big hunk of concrete, is it?
Yeah. It's there's one of them at the end of one of the wharves actually that the port uses. So this one would be, gosh, I'm trying to remember now. I think it's about 70, 80 meters out, so that you can moor.
49 meters. The first one would be 49 meters.
The second one's
82 meters.
Yeah, that's into the harbour. You've got it. You've done your homework.
It's quite a long way.
It's quite a long way, and but you know. That's what is required to moor the cruise ships. And I went out on the big cruise ship, I'm trying to remember the name of the thing that came in last...
Pacific and Princess of Ovation of Queen of the Something or Others.
Ovation of the Seas, yeah, that's the one. And, you know, I watched them load and unload passengers, and by the time they had unloaded the last passengers to come in, ferrying from mid-channel, the passengers into the wharves, they were having to pick up the first passengers to prepare for leaving again. And, you know, if we don't make provision, then those big ships not only won't come to Auckland, but they probably won't come to New Zealand. So,
are there any other ports in the country that they visit?
Yeah, they do. They do other ports. And
Who else gets the big ships?
Yeah, I think you've got Christchurch, Littleton is one example. Sometimes they go up to the Bay of Islands. They do different plans. They can moor in Tauranga, but they can't moor in Auckland. So, you know, we look at that and we say, hey, this is a valuable economic asset for the city. It creates jobs and it creates incomes. Would we rather not have the dolphins out there? Yeah, we probably would rather not have any intrusion into the harbour at all. But on the balance of benefits for the cost that it may be to have the dolphins in the harbour, is it worth doing? And council made the decision, yes, this is important. This helps us create literally thousands of jobs and brings big income into the city. And we're going to have more and more big ships. Ultimately, maybe we'll have a reconfiguration of the wharves when we know what's happening with the ports of Auckland in the future. You know, something like Bledisloe Wharf at the far end of it, you could moor a cruise ship along there, but at the moment it's used for port activities and that's not possible. So we've got to do something in the interim. Those dolphins off the end of Queen's Wharf were deemed to be the best solution.
Righty-ho. So when do you think you're going to get that's all going to go through?
Well, it depends on what submissions are made on the dolphins, and like everything, when you're planning any sort of construction, you know, it's controversial. Some people have one set of views, and other people have another set of views. But we would like that for the start of the cruise season next year. So we're talking about the end of 2019.
All right, big news is that the government plans to build 10,000 new homes in Mount Roskill over the next 15 years, but getting rid of 3,000 existing state homes and subdividing the sections.
Yeah.
Smaller sections, tighter communities, tight-knit, stuck right next to each other communities, or are these just massive state housing areas?
If you look at the pictures on my Facebook site or in the Herald yesterday morning, you'll see that the design work for more intensive state housing is really good. I know this area intimately. It's in Freeland Avenue, and I reckon I would have knocked on the doors of every house in that avenue at least a dozen times over the years. And I'm going to say something that makes me feel really old now. I remember when those state houses were relatively new and people were proud to live in them. They were great, but now they are pretty old. They're 75 years old. They're showing their age. The maintenance required was getting bigger and bigger. And people, you know, in a past generation, people thought, you know, the weekends are for spending time out in your garden and you had big gardens. People today are less inclined to do that. So we had a whole lot of old houses on big sections that, and the houses weren't in great shape, and the sections weren't in great shape either, because for most people living in the huge sections, it was just a pain in the neck having to run the lawnmower over them. These new purpose-designed houses are really nice, double-glazed, warm, attractive to live in. But, you know, for every one house that's on a piece of land at the moment, by better design and more intensive housing, we're putting three or four on. And we will.
How's that go for the people that are living in the state houses that are there now?
Well, the people that were living in the old houses have been transferred to other state houses and right. will have the opportunity to move back into their neighbourhood. Because one of the things that's really important, when you're upgrading housing, what you don't want is just then gentrification. So you move the poorer families, the lower income families out, and you move the higher income families in, and you think you've solved a problem. No, you haven't. So what the plan is, and I think it's a good plan, a third will be state houses, a third will be Kiwi Build affordable houses, and a third will be market priced houses. So what you'll get, you know, and Mount Roskill was the community I grew up in first, what you've got is a mixed community where instead of segregating people by income in very sharp lines, you know, like the difference between, say, Otara and Pakuranga, you're trying to have integrated communities where people from different income levels and...
Proper community communities, you mean?
Yeah, because, you know, building a house is one thing, building a community is even more important. But, look, I was really impressed and invite people to go down and have a look at the houses that have been built. They're great houses. They're the sort of houses I'd feel really comfortable in living in. And you look at the old house, the old state house next to the new state house that's been built, and there just is no comparison.
Yeah.
One is a place where kids will grow up and healthy because it's not cold and damp and it doesn't leak.
As long as they're not policemen or nurses or...
yeah. Well, you know, the affordable housing's part of it too, because state housing, you know, social housing is necessary because some people will never be able to afford their own home and they can't afford to rent in the private sector, but they still deserve to have safe, affordable, secure homes. And the Kiwi Build is great because most of us at some, you know, at the point that we're able to want to buy a starter home, and these are, you know, they're not mansions, they're not designed to be mansions, but they're good, solid houses. And again, people will be glad to say, hey, I got my start in a Kiwi Build house in Mount Roskill, and maybe 20 years later I've moved somewhere else and I've upgraded because, you know, got a higher income, etc. But it's getting that first foot on the rung of the ladder, getting a start in life that's really important, and 10,000 new homes that are going to go into my old community of Mount Roskill, I think will be fantastic. And, you know, the people that the local school principal was there and she was delighted because it means, you know, more kids coming into an area where the roll was falling in the school. So you're taking advantage of existing infrastructure without having to spend tens of millions of dollars in creating new infrastructure. And right next door to it is a reserve. It was called in the old days, euphemistically, a drainage reserve. That was the land the Dallas developer didn't want and the council didn't know what to do with because it was wet and mucky. Well, we'll upgrade that. We'll make walkways. We'll make picnic areas. We'll have a community garden and orchard there. So, you know, the land is there for public open space for more intensive housing, but we're going to make much better use of it. So I think it's a win-win-win situation.
All right, Phil, thank you very much. Nice to talk to you.
Okay, Mikey.
Have a great day.
Talk next week. Cheers. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.